Hey, welcome to the Church Home Podcast. My name is David, and I'm the CEO here at Church Home, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, you're going to hear an encouraging message around the person of Jesus and his love for you. But if we can serve you as a community in any way, we would love to do so. And the best way for that to happen is for you to actually chat with one of our pastors and get connected, which you can do on our website at churchhome.org or through the Church Home app. And if you've been impacted in any way by this podcast, in your walk and journey with Jesus, we'd like to invite you to exercise your faith by actually contributing financially to help tell the story of Jesus across the globe alongside Church Home. You can do so by texting the word generosity to the number 97,000. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this message.
And are you ready for the word this morning? Okay, let's do it. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And don't worry, we're going to have this up on the screen for you. If you don't have a physical Bible or a Bible app, it's all good. We've got the Sky Bible. It will come up for you in a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I don't know if I've ever worn a hat on a Sunday morning, but my hair is getting out of control. It's long. Do you like the long hair? Like you're going to say no. Like you're like, no, boo. That's the trick you do. You like my long hair? You probably don't, but that's okay. But I just was like, it's out of control. This mane, I got to throw a hat on this morning. So I hope that doesn't, if that offends you, maybe you're in the wrong church, I guess. And so just, you know, come as you are, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of the faith. All right. I want to speak to you this morning from the subject, fight right. Fight right. We're going to talk a little bit about how there's a wrong way to fight. There's a right way to fight. And are you ready for this morning? Okay, let's pray one more time. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that it's not a coincidence that we're all here together today. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to every single person that's in this room, everybody that is watching or listening online. God, we just thank you that this message is for us today. Speak to us. Lord, change us from the inside out and do a work in our hearts. God, we come to you surrendered and yielded, knowing that you are continuing to do a work. And greater are you that is in us than any enemy that's in the world. And we just thank you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give the Northwest some sunshine very soon. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Fight right. I got to admit something. I don't like fighting. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm an avoider. I'm a pleaser. In our marriage, I've been married 23 years now. And when a fight starts, I'm the spouse that's like, no, don't raise your voice. It's okay. What did I do? Okay. I'm sorry. I don't like yelling. I'm not into yelling. Anybody like that? Or some of you, okay. Just three of you. Good. The rest of y'all are yellers? Good. Okay. My wife would be in good company. No, I'm kidding. But I've never been good at fighting. I've never been about fighting. Fighting makes me uncomfortable. In fact, when other people are fighting in a public space, I just cringe. I get uncomfortable. It does something. I'm not good at fighting. So when I read this verse, fight the good fight of faith, I'm like, hold, I took issue with it right away because I'm like, good fight? No. All fights are bad. Fighting is bad. There is no good fight. This fighting is that can't be of God, right? And so my wife and I have 23 years. Miraculous thing is we've never been in a single fight, and I just lied in church. No, we've been in a lot of fights. But probably like a lot of you that have a spouse or significant other in here, you know, most of the fights are over kind of dumb little things, aren't they? It's just dumb little things. Can I let you know what has been kind of the daily little battle? Yes, I just said daily. This happens on a daily basis. I call it the thermostat wars because this time of year, it's freezing in LA, okay? I mean, it goes all the way down to 58 degrees. And when it's 58 degrees in LA, you know, we bundle up like we're in an Arctic tundra, you know? And so we have thermostat wars. This is a daily thing. Our kids laugh at us. They make fun of us. And it may not be what you think, but I'm the one that wants it warm. I actually run cold a little bit, okay? I've got circulation issues. I don't know. Pray for me, all right? But I like it a little bit warmer. And my wife is just, she's a heater. She wants it cooler in the house. And so this is what happens in the morning. I go by the thermostat that's right outside of our room, and I bump it up 1 or 2 degrees. I'm just like, she won't notice, you know, and just a little bit warmer. And then by the time I've come back from breakfast or my coffee or a lunchtime, you know, break or something like that, I come back and I notice it's been bumped down 3 or 4 notches. Like, she don't play. And so we have these thermostat wars. Literally, it's February, ladies and gentlemen. It's not 80, 90 degrees in LA right now. It's cooler temps in LA, but we've got the AC coming on part of the day. Then we've got the heat coming on part of the day. We've got the AC. Pray for our electric bill. My God. And so I call it the thermostat wars. It's happening on a daily basis. And I make fun of my wife. She loves it so cold. This morning I left our house and our thermostat right outside, it was at 62. It said it's 62 degrees. I don't know what the perfect temperature is. 62 sounds warm when I say it, but it's actually cold, right, Crystal? Thank you for validating that. And so does anybody else think it's cold? Just make me feel better about it. I'm not crazy, right? Thank you. Okay. But when it hits like 63, 64, she's like, it's getting too warm. I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? I've got like a scarf. I've got like mittens on. I've got my wool socks. I'm putting on long underwear every day just to hang out at my house, you know? And my wife is like, she wants our house to be comfortable for polar bears and penguins. And, you know, if you've got, you know, not enough room in your freezer for some meat, bring it over. We'll just lay it in our living room and it'll stay cool for a while. Like, it's a freaking meat locker. Right? It's like crazy. And so it's these thermostat wars that are happening on a daily basis. And finally, we finally got smart and realized we need to get each other the right Christmas gifts. And so she got me for Christmas this electric blanket that I use every single day. I turn that thing on. It goes up to 5 notches. I will turn it on while I'm working. I will turn it on while I'm sitting. It's noon and I'm having lunch and I got the electric blanket wrapped around my legs. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm letting you in on a lot of details into our life. And my wife, guess what I got her for Christmas? She gets me an electric blanket. I got her a fan, not just the normal fan that goes up like 1 or 2 settings. This is like the industrial. It has 5 settings on it and it just blasts air at her. So every night we're going to bed and it's just like, it sounds like a wind tunnel in our room because this fan is blowing on her. She's just in shorts and a t-shirt. I'm bundled from head to toe in sweats with my electric blanket wrapped around. I'm not lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is us at night. Going to bed. We're a mess. But these are the thermostat wars. But I don't like fighting. I don't like, you know, the yelling. I don't like arguing about things. Let's just get to a quick solution and get it over with. I know that I'm an avoider. Let's just shove it under the rug, whatever we need to do. And my wife and I finally, a few years ago, we ended up in therapy. And let me just state for the record, therapy is good, people. Therapy does not mean you're not a Christian. Therapy does not mean that you're way out to lunch, that you have it. We all have issues. And you know what? Yes, we need Jesus. Yes, we need people in our life. But therapy is really good sometimes. And so we got into therapy, and thank you for one clap. I appreciate that. He's like, I agree. We got into therapy because we were going through some stuff in our marriage and we just couldn't seem to, we had to relearn how to communicate each other's language, right? Because after 23 years, I've changed, she's changed, and now we're speaking different languages and our love languages are different and we're different people. And I was like, I don't know you anymore and you don't know me anymore. This isn't going to work. Let's get in therapy. So we got in therapy and I remember our therapist saying, okay, I need you two to fight. And I'm like, whoa, 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 time out. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, devil. You need us to what? And she said, I need you guys to fight. I was like, no. We're not going to fight. I avoid fighting. Let's flee from fight. I came to therapy so we'd stop fighting. And she said, no. I need you to fight right. I'm like, what do you mean? And she said, well, Elijah, your problem is that because you don't ever want to fight, when conflict happens, you want to run from it. which makes you avoid the conflict, but makes you avoid her, which makes you isolate yourself from your wife. And you think that that's the solution, but actually you've done the opposite. She said, conflict leads either to isolation or it can lead to intimacy. And I'm like, what? She said, if you learn how to fight right, you actually will come together. It'll be a little bit messy, but there's communication happening. There's conflict happening. You're not running from it. You're not shoving issues under the rug that are gonna pop up later. And ultimately you get through something together and your marriage gets stronger and it brings intimacy. And I'm like, I don't like that, but you're the professional. I'll try it. So I had to learn how to fight right. You know what I realized? As much as I don't like a fight, the reality is life is a fight. Can I just say that? Did we just say that in church? Not to say that life isn't a blessing, not to say that life isn't full of amazing moments, but there's always a fight happening in life. I'm talking this morning to some of you that barely made it out of bed today because your fight these days is just getting out of bed and not staying in a depressed, low place to motivate yourself to do something. And you've had to force yourself to just get outside and get to church today. I'm talking about some of you right now are in the midst of a fight in your family, with your kids, with your spouse. I'm talking about some of you are fighting right now. You're in a financial fight just to make ends meet, to pay rent, to pay your mortgage. You don't know, life's getting more expensive. The cost of eggs, the cost of gas. Do we need to go there? Let's not go there because it's, you know, triggering for all of us, right? But some of you are in a financial fight. Some of you are in a fight for your health. You got a diagnosis from a doctor, and some of you are in a fight to just not worry on a daily basis because you've been plagued with anxiety and plagued with fear and plagued with worry. And these worries that might seem little, they might seem embarrassing, but they're valid because it's how you feel about things, whether they're big or small. It's a big deal to you. And the reality is that there's a fight going on the inside. I'm talking to somebody this morning that maybe you barely got in here today because you're having a fight and a crisis of your faith to even believe in God. God, do you have something for me? God, could you possibly do a miracle in my life? God, I've been praying for something for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and I haven't seen anything come to pass. Some of you are in a fight to believe a vision. Some of you are in a fight to believe a promise. Some of you are in a fight to believe that God is still for you because it really doesn't feel like God's for you. Am I talking to somebody today? I hope it's okay. We just get real. Life's beautiful, but life is messy. Life is tough. Life is a fight. So if you're like me and you don't like fighting, tough luck. We're already in a fight. Whether you want to realize it or not, you're like, wow, why did I come to, I came today so he told me that I'm already in a fight, right? Good news. Don't worry, we're going somewhere with this, but you're already in a fight. There's already a fight. There's a fight every day for your attention. There's a fight every day of distractions. There's a fight every day of whether you're going to have a positive outlook on things or a negative outlook on things. There's social media fighting for your attention. There's news outlets fighting for your attention. There's people fighting for your attention. There's a fight happening every single day, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. We are all in the midst of a fight already. So let's learn how to fight right. Fight the good fight of faith. I don't want to fight. No, you're in a fight. So you're going to have to fight. So let's talk about this good fight of faith. I want to give you three things today. Three ways that we fight right. Number one is run. And you're like, wait, you just told us how you run away from the fight. That's not fighting if you run. Now, hold on. But I love the verse leading up. I read the verse leading up to the fight, the good fight of faith, because before Paul's telling Timothy in this passage to fight this good fight of faith, he says, Timothy, you, O man of God, flee these things. Well, we didn't have time, but if you want to read the whole chapter previous, Paul is listing all these issues, from issues of greed and money issues to false teaching issues to division in the church issues. He's listing all these things, and then it leads up to this statement. He says, you, man of God, flee these things. You know what flee means? Flee means run. Run away from these things. Run away from all this bad stuff. And then he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. I love this passage because there's two words in here that mean run. Flee means to run and pursue means to run. They both essentially are synonyms, but they're very different synonyms because one denotes running away from something. To flee something means something is back here chasing you and I need to get away from it. Whereas to pursue means I'm got something in front of me that I'm chasing after. And when if you wanna learn how to fight right, no matter what fight you're in right now in your life, no matter what internal conflict in the wrestling of your soul, we gotta learn how to fight right by learning how to run right. We gotta learn that, you know what? This life of following Jesus is a race. This life of following Jesus, we're running. Just like I said a moment ago, you're already in a fight, you're already running. I am. I don't like to run. I don't like to fight. Welcome to the club. We're already doing this together. And when it comes to running, I used to grow up, when I grew up in the church, I thought that the essence of the summation, the culmination of my faith in Jesus and this idea of being a Christian meant I just had to run away from sin, get away from lust, get away from pride, get away from temptation. My whole existence in relationship to God was to just not do bad things. I'm a Christian now, so I'm not gonna do bad things. When people ask me, why don't you go to this movie and why don't you do this thing and why don't you smoke, drink and cuss and da-da-da, but because I don't do bad things, I run away from those things, I'm a Christian. And my whole concept of Christianity was that I'm just fleeing, flee, 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 flee. But the reality is that it's, yes, fleeing things. He encourages the man of God to flee, but then he says, but pursue. Because your life in following Jesus is not as much about what you're running away from, but what you're running after. Because we don't run through a race looking backwards, do we? We run a race looking forwards. And the amazing thing is that your best flee is a pursue. I'm gonna say that again. Your best flee is a pursue. Are you having a tough time with temptation? Are you having a tough time with sin issues? Are you having a tough time with habits and cyclical problems in your life? Welcome to the club. We all do, right? We all mess up and make mistakes. Instead of focusing on how do I get away from that, get a vision for what am I running after? Because the best flee is a pursue. I'm running, but my focus is on pursue what? Righteousness. Well, what does that mean? Pursue righteousness. Oh, that means I need to be a right person. No, righteousness is the free gift that's given to each of us that we can never earn or deserve by Jesus. So you could almost insert in there, pursue Jesus, this Jesus righteousness. Godliness. Oh man, that sounds hard. How I be godly? Well, we have an example of godliness and his name is Jesus. Faith. Wow. How do I become a person of faith? Well, you don't have faith in yourself. You don't have faith in other people. Your faith is connected to a person and the person's name is Jesus. And you can go love. God is love. You can go through each one of these things and realize, you know what? The things I'm pursuing after really is I'm looking to Jesus. I'm keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. I'm moving forward, not focusing on what the enemy's trying to do to me because as long as I'm looking backwards, he got me distracted. I don't got time for that. I'm in a fight and I got to fight right. I got to shift my perspective and realize my life and existence isn't flee. I'm exhausted from fleeing. It's tiring. I'm exasperated from fleeing. But if I can pursue, now I've got a goal. Now I've got a prize. Now I got something exciting that I'm running after. I want to live a life where I fight right and learn how to run right. Your best flee is a pursue. 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 Jesus, I'm running after you. I'm not just trying to flee lust anymore. No, I'm after a pursuit of purity. I'm not just trying to flee anxiety. No, I'm running after peace. And the Prince of Peace is Jesus. That's where my peace is. I'm not just trying to run away from depression. I'm running after joy. And the joy of Jesus is my strength. And so that's what I'm focusing on. I'm not just trying to run away from fear. I'm running towards faith and confidence that I have. My confidence is the hope with Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's where my confidence is. I'm not just running away from that. I'm running after Jesus. You got to run right. It's perspective, right? We just had the Super Bowl recently. And I don't know if any football fans in here. Okay, two. Great. Connected with my crowd. Great today. It's awesome. Nobody yells. Nobody watches football. All right. Go Hawks. Hey, I may be in LA for 8 years, but I'm Seahawks for life, baby. I grew up Pacific Northwest. Doesn't matter who's quarterback. Okay, let's not get into that. I'm just Seahawks, always. But it'd be an entirely different ballgame if the coach got all the football teams together and said, you know what, the goal when you get out there, gentlemen, is just don't get tackled, okay? Just whatever you do, run away from everybody that's running after you. Don't get tackled. And there's part of that makes sense. That seems logical. Okay, yeah, you don't want to get tackled. Okay. So they get out there, hike the ball. There's people coming out. Instead of running towards the end zone, they're like, no, they're running this way. I'm going to run away from them because the goal is to not get tackled. And if all they played was this defensive game of just the object of the game is don't get tackled, nobody would ever score a touchdown. There'd probably be some safeties and some other things happening, right? There'd probably be some problems with that. But the reality is like, no, the primary goal is we got to move this ball forward. Wait, you mean forward into the enemy's territory? Into the enemy's territory right there? Like against those guys are coming after. We got to get through that? Yeah, you're going to get through that. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of playing defensive Christianity. There is an enemy of our soul. There's a devil that hates you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But guess what? There's somebody so much greater than that teeny, weeny, itsy, bitsy, teeny, little, yellow, polka-dotted devil, and his name is Jesus. And I'm telling you something, we don't have to play defense anymore. We're just running away from evil things. No, we've got a God on our side. We've got the victory on our side. Jesus said, it's finished. And I've done this for you. I fight for you. The battle belongs to the Lord. Let's move this thing forward. Let's move forward. Let's pursue what God has for us. And today, maybe this is just the one part of the message that you need today. As you came in here, God brought you into this auditorium today, or maybe you're watching online today, just for this part of the message. It's a simple adjustment. All God wants to do, all the Holy Spirit wants to nudge you today is your perspective from looking back to looking forward. Just see that? It's just a well, I'm going this way. Yeah, you are going this way, but if you're not looking, it's going to be hard to go fast that way. It's going to be hard to really run that way when you're looking back at stuff back here, but quit focusing on the flee and let's go after the pursue. What am I pursuing? What am I pursuing? The best flee is a pursue. Amen? I love my son's basketball team, and I'll say this. There was a few games in the beginning of the season, handful of games, where we were just crushing every team. I'm talking about one of the actual scores. You can ask Jude and Chelsea, you can ask my wife. One of the scores of a game just a month ago, we had 90 points. The other team, I think they had 12, but I'll say they had 15. So it's that kind of stuff going on, where by the fourth quarter, we're cheering when the other team got a basket. Like, we're, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel bad. You're like, they got one. So the coach is smart. He realized we were number one in our division. So you know what he did? He planned other games that were not league games against teams that were in a higher division than us. And so all of a sudden, our boys went from winning every game to now they're up against a team, one division. Actually, they had two games where there was a team two divisions higher than them. Bigger schools, better competition. And you know what? We had a loss. And then we had another loss. And my son felt so dejected. And I said, no. Tonight was a good game. Tonight was a good game. He's like, it wasn't a good game. We lost. I said, no. If you could think about it for a minute, you can take away and learn more from this game tonight where you lost than from the game where you blew out a team 90 points to 12. You're not learning anything from that. And all of a sudden the light bulb went off because I read this verse again. Fight the good fight of faith. See, I used to preach this, Mark. I've been preaching for a minute now. I've preached this before. And I used to come and be like, fight the good fight. I said, you know why it's a good fight? Because we always win. I preached a message years ago. We always win. And this whole message, we win. That's all we do is win. I got everybody pumped up. Everybody's shouting, shout of praise. Ben, get out here. Win, we win. And it was awesome. It felt great. And yes, ultimately, we do win with Jesus on our side. Okay, hear that. But we all know what it's like to have some losses in life. And if I'm just up here saying, well, hey, once you just believe, fight the good fight of faith, it's a good fight. A good fight is one you win. It's a fixed fight. It's a Mayweather fight. We're just going to win every time. It's going to be great. Come on, we win. No, the reality is, I think it's a good fight when we're learning something, we're growing. God's using seasons that feel like a loss that actually turn into a gain. I'll say that again, using seasons that feel like a loss. Are you in a lost season? Are you in a season where it feels like, man, I just can't get a win. I just can't get a win with my kids. I just can't get a win at work. I just can't get a win with my soul. I'm just battling mental health. And I know those dark moments and those times that just feel like, oh, I just feel like a failure. I feel like a loss. But realize something, that we're in the midst of a good fight. There's a good fight. And it's good because we're learning in the losses. We're celebrating wins, but we're learning in the losses. We're growing in the losses. We're changing in the losses. So how do we fight right? Number one, we run right. But number two, we believe. We believe right. It says fight the good fight of faith. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say fight the good fight of grace, because grace is a free gift that you don't have to fight for. It doesn't say fight the good fight of forgiveness, because guess what? You don't have to fight for God's forgiveness. He already gave it to you freely. It doesn't say fight the good fight of freedom, and Jesus paid for that. Fight the good fight against sin. No, Jesus ultimately defeated sin. But it says fight the good fight of faith, which is to say the fight is just to continue to believe. And I'll be honest, it's hard. When you've been praying for something and it doesn't happen and you just get crickets, you feel like God ghosted you, you just hear nothing from God. I love talking about the fulfilled promises of God and God's gonna bless you and God's gonna do this, but let's be real for a second. Some of us have been sitting on a prayer for not just a few weeks discouraged, but maybe a few years discouraged, maybe a decade discouraged. The fight is, can you still believe that God is good? Can you still believe that God has a plan? Can you still believe that God is for you? Can you still believe that even when you don't understand why things aren't working out, the plan you had in your mind, that God's got, his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And what I think is good is just not very good compared to God's good. And what we think is best is not even good compared to God's best. And he's got something, he's got a plan, and he works all things together for good. But working that thing together might be a working over a few days, a few weeks, a few months, or it might be working over a couple decades, which is really difficult to wait that out and to trust God. And that's why he said it's a fight. And the kind of fight it is it's a fight to believe. It's a fight to just simply trust. Not in your own efforts, not in your own works, not to a fight to strive more, not a fight to just, oh, I gotta flex more, I gotta do more, I gotta win this thing. No, but a fight to really believe that God's gonna do this, really believe that God's for you, really believe that God's still good. To fight the good fight of faith. I'm talking to some people here who've experienced some loss. Maybe physical loss, maybe a loved one that passed away and you don't understand it. And God, why didn't you heal this person of the cancer? And why didn't you do the miracle? God, they were so young. Why did this happen? Why? And I'm not gonna be up here and be a preacher who tries to answer those whys, because there's just things that we don't know and won't know till we get to heaven. But what I do know, I don't know why some get healed and others don't get healed. But what I do know is God is still a good God. God still has a plan. God still wants to work some things out for you. And no matter what loss you've experienced, fight the good fight of faith. Believe, 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 believe. Jesus, help me to believe. God, help me to believe. Romans 10:17 says faith, or that idea of believing in Jesus, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what happens when you haven't heard for a while and all you've done is see? And I'm not trying to add anything to the Bible, but I think oftentimes, even as faith comes by hearing, I think doubt comes by seeing. Because we're looking at what the reality is, and we're like, God, this is, are you seeing this, God? Like, you can't see. Like, God, do you see my circumstance? Because we're all seeing some things. Yeah, but God spoke to me a year ago. Faith comes up. I got to hang on to the word. I got to hang on to what he said. Even though I'm not seeing it out here. Oh, God, help me to get past just the three-dimensional world, this broken, fractured world that I live in, and realize there's something bigger and greater than what we just see right here. Lord, help me to believe. Lord, help me to believe, not in my own strength, not in my works, but in the work of Jesus, that he is for me, that he's not against me, that he is moving on our behalf, that he is going to continue to do a good work. I tell you, one of the amazing ways, this is something I'm not lying. I do this every single day. I just started this. I get on the Church Home app and I start my day. Sometimes I'm not even out of bed yet and I start the guided prayer. And when it's my voice on there, it's weird for a second. I gotta be honest. But I'm like, yeah, my voice is pretty good. I don't know. But you know what I do? Because I know the guided prayers are teaching you how to pray. A lot of mornings, I just listen. I just listen. Because I start my day with, I need to just hear the word of God. I need to hear this prayer. I need to hear this encouragement. Sets the table for the day for me. I'm giving this one practical little life hack, okay? It's just, I'm telling you, it'll help when you start your day. God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from your word today. And the guided prayer will help you through. Oh, last one. Three ways we fight: we run, we believe, and last one is embrace. Because I love that it says, fight the good fight of faith. Then it says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Another translation says, just embrace, seize, hang on to the eternal life, not the temporary life, the eternal life. How do I keep an eternal perspective? How do I keep an eternal mindset, seeing things not through the lens of just the temporary time we're here on earth? To embrace eternal life is to embrace God's eternal love, because it's eternal. His eternal love is what gives us eternal life. Check this out. Romans chapter 8. I'm almost done. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Do we have it up there? I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. Because of the way that Jesus, our master, has embraced us. Embraced us. Well, I gotta embrace eternal life. Yes, guess what? Earth is not your ultimate home. Heaven is our home. Having a heavenly perspective is way different than having an earthly perspective. And it's easier said than done. I was flying in this morning, and even though there's clouds and rain and that sort of thing, it's amazing. I love that moment landing, and I always sit by the window and looking out at the buildings and the cars and people and communities and pockets of Seattle where I used to live. And I love the water. I love the Northwest, and everything just seems so small. Everything seems so easy. I can just exhale. I'm up in this plane. I'm 10,000 feet up in the air. Everything seems so little. And it just reminded me that, you know what? When problems that seem really big to us, when you get the eternal perspective, when God helps you to rise above that problem or circumstance, it just seems so small compared to the vastness and the majesty and the glory of how big our God is. God, I don't just want to have a temporary perspective where I'm so honed in on the problem right now, but God, help me to have an eternal perspective, to draw back and realize this is just one little piece of the puzzle that I'm not figuring out. But God, you hold the whole puzzle in your hands. You got my whole life in your hands. God, you see the whole canvas. You see the whole thing from beginning to end. God, help me to embrace that eternal life. Help me to embrace not a life that is broken and fractured and temporary, that earthly life, but a heavenly life, a kingdom life where there is no weeping, there is no sickness, there is no darkness. All there is light, that kingdom reign, that Jesus reign. Help me to embrace the eternal life. Life is too short for us to quarrel with each other. What happens when we start focusing on temporary things? We start thinking that we each other are the enemy. This happened to me just a few days ago on social media. Shocker. Where somebody came at me and just started saying bad things about my character. And this is a person I haven't seen in 10 plus years. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And just some negative things. And of course it got to me. I'm not a fighter, but I'm a pleaser avoider. But the pleaser in me is like, wait, I want everybody to love me. I need to hold on. What's this issue? I'm a good person. What? And I immediately got defensive, and I immediately went back at him. Not back at him against his character, but defending myself and defending this and that and the other. And then at one point it just kept escalating, right? These little fights on social. And then I was like, oh God, and I took a moment to just pray, God, show me what to do. And I finally messaged back this guy and I just said, hey man, we're on the same team here. Like, I know I haven't seen you in a long time and I hope you're well, man. I hope your family's well. I hope you know my heart and let's remember we're not on the same, you're not my enemy and I'm not your enemy. And we don't have time as Christians to just have this friendly fire and just hurting this church across town and that church across town. Like, thank God for the churches across town, right? Like, can't we all just get along? And I'm not saying that in the spirit of not liking to fight. I'm saying that's the wrong fight. That's the wrong fight. Of course the enemy wants the church fighting because a house divided, right? If the church can get, if the enemy can get churches fighting, there's no, but if two or three can agree, if two or three churches can agree together, if we can start to get along and realize, no, we've got a common savior, his name is Jesus, and we have a common enemy, and his name is the devil. There might be other doctrinal things that are slightly off, but the main things are the main things, and we're in this together, and we need each other, and this is the greatest support system on the planet Earth, and there's too many people that are suffering mental health issues right now for us to be fighting. There's people that are depressed right now, people that are taking their lives right now, people that are going through it right now. And they are sitting here this morning and they're listening online and you wouldn't even know it because they look like they have it all together. And maybe they're going through it because somebody else said something to them and just cut them down with their words. We need to be a people that are eternal life people. Embrace that eternal life that Jesus has embraced us. Embrace that love and the reason he's embraced us. God, I want to love better. I want to live better. And the only way I can do that is to have that eternal mindset. Help me to fight right, Jesus. Help me to fight right. Help me to fight right. Help me to fight right. Whew. I want to pray for some people this morning. Oh, I almost got emotional when I started talking about depression. Something flying in this morning. It's not just the rain. I'm not that kind of preacher like, oh, it's rainy. That means it's depressing. But no, I felt something. I felt something this morning. And maybe it's just for some of you that are here today, but I think it's more than just some of you. I think what God does in you, he does through you. Meaning that you're here today, not just for you, but God's doing a work in you. And this, what he does in you today will impact a coworker tomorrow, will impact a family member at the end of the day today, will impact a friend on Tuesday or Wednesday. And this depression, man, this silent killer, it's embarrassing. I stared that thing in the face, and as a pastor, it's really embarrassing because pastors aren't supposed to get depressed. Pastors aren't supposed to be on antidepressants. Pastors aren't supposed to be in therapy constantly. Well, guess what? You're looking at one who's been through it and been in moments where I can't shake suicidal ideation and I can't stop thinking about it. When everything else is going great in life and it doesn't make sense, and that's the most embarrassing thing sometimes, is sometimes depression doesn't make sense. And that's why you don't even want to tell people, because you're like, they're like, oh, well, is your marriage good? I mean, yeah, we fight over the thermostat, but I mean, it's pretty good. Are your kids good? Yeah, I mean, my son lost his basketball game last night, but my kids are generally good. You like your job? Most days. Why, then why are you depressed? I don't know. Why are you anxious? I don't know. Can we be the kind of community that can come by a brother or sister, another person across the row from you, and say, it's okay, you're hurting. We don't need to fix it. We don't need to solve it. We don't need to come up with all the answers. Most important thing is that, you know what, you're hurting. I validate what you're feeling right now and what you're going through. And you're not alone. I don't know who you are today that's having panic attacks, but you're not alone. I don't know who you are today that's having insomnia because of anxiety and fear, but you're not alone. I don't know who it is that's been this week, suicidal ideation, loneliness, depression. You're not alone. And if you do anything, if you hear anything from this preacher today, don't stay silent. Don't let this thing kill you. Part of fighting right is knowing that you've got other brothers and sisters that are gonna fight with you. That when you don't have the faith, somebody else comes alongside you and picks you up and has faith for you. When you can't pray anymore, let me pray for you. And guess what? When I can't pray anymore, you come pray for me. And we're gonna be there for each other because we're the church of the living God. I'm telling you something, there's a fight and there is a devil who steals and kills and destroys, but my Jesus has come to give life. And he's come to give life more abundantly. And I believe this morning in this auditorium, in a moment, we're gonna sing, but I'm literally have faith that chains of depression are gonna be broken off somebody's life today. I have faith that chains of anxiety are gonna be broken off somebody's life today. I have faith that somebody that has chronic headaches, I know it's weird, but the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, you have chronic headaches. It's literally, God's gonna do a healing work in your body today. Somebody that's had chronic pain, somebody that's had fears and insecurities, God's gonna remove fear and insecurity. Because as you lay hold of eternal life, there's a letting go. When there's a laying hold, there's a letting go. And today we're letting go of some things. We're letting go of some things that Jesus has wanted to take from you, but you've been hanging on to it. Are you willing to let go of things, some of the pain you've been comfortable in, to say, God, I trust you, and I trust that I'm laying hold of something else. Lord, help me let go so I can lay hold. Help me let go so I can lay hold. I believe today that God is curing sicknesses in this place. I believe today that God is helping marriages in this place. I believe today God is bringing prodigals home. There are young people and children that you've been praying for years that are going to come home. They're coming back to Jesus. They're coming back to the faith. And you've been praying and praying, and you need to know God has heard your prayers. He's heard your cries. You've been fighting right, and your fight, I'm telling you, the battle belongs to the Lord. And he hears it, and he knows that he fights with us. You're not alone. 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 If you're suffering, if you're wrestling with one of those things on the inside, you talk to somebody today, you tell somebody today, you get somebody to pray with you and stand with you and fight right with you. Because I know what it feels like to be stuck and you feel like you're drowning and you feel like all I can do is look at what's chasing me. I can't even turn my own head to look this way. I can't even turn my perspective. All I see is this, is the evil, the darkness. I know what that's like, but I know there's freedom. I know God didn't just call us. Freedom is not just those times, those spans of not sinning or those spans of not feeling depressed. Well, I was free for a week. Well, I was free for a day. No. This is a life of freedom that we get in Jesus. You don't have to live with anything that Jesus died for. Jesus died and took anxiety, he took depression, he took pain, he took fear, insecurity. He took it. Jesus, I just pray today. Lord, I pray right now into the sound of my voice that you'd begin that work right now, right where we're sitting. God, you're speaking to somebody right now. Somebody, tears are welling up in your eyes right now because you feel the presence of Jesus right in your row, right in your chair, right where you are. Lord, you are here today to meet us and to encounter us. God, to bring a new way and to bring hope. Wow. There's somebody here today and you feel exhausted of hope. It's a weird phrase, but I feel like there's somebody here, you literally said that sometime in the last week. I feel exhausted of hope. I feel hopeless. I feel hopeless. Lord, come and restore hope today. Lord, come and restore peace today. Lord, come and restore joy today. Lord, come and restore vision today. Lord, come and bring life today. Lord, come and bring love today. Lord, you're loving those. Somebody here, it's been in a fight of disappointment. It's been disappointment after disappointment. You're frustrated with yourself. You're disappointed with yourself. But today, you are no longer an outcast. You are no longer one that is a disappointment. You're not a disappointment in God's eyes. You never have been. Oh, and God's saying, you are my beloved. You are one who is loved. You are one who is cared for. Jesus, we need you.